This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers, ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Raw, real, and truly life-changing is the best way to describe today's guest. He has traveled all the way from Australia to Santa Monica, and I'm so honored of having him here with me. He's one extraordinary young man who has defied the odds of not only life-threatening cancer as a baby, but he was the only survivor of a horrific drug trial that killed all except Michael. He continues the battle to this very day, and spending nearly a quarter of his life in hospital, he's a true fighter. Despite all of this, he has built a life of exceptional achievements. His name is Michael Crossland. Welcome, Michael.
Good morning. How are you? Great to be here.
I'm good. It feels so good because we were mixing up the days. We were supposed to be here on Friday in Santa Monica, but now it's Friday in Australia. So I had to rush here this morning, but we made it happen. And I'm so glad to be here. How are you doing this day?
Good, mate. Good. Yeah. And it's funny because you did say Friday, and for my brain, it is Friday. I've just flown in from Australia, and the brain is a little exhausted. But no, really excited to be here. And thanks so much for having me on your great podcast.
Yeah. So, Michael, let's dive right into it. Who is Michael Crossland?
Who am I? I'm just an ordinary old Australian from a beautiful part of the world called Coffs Harbour, which is halfway between Sydney and Brisbane. I'm very, very fortunate to travel the world as an inspirational speaker. Last year, I was on 152 flights, spoke in 22 countries, and maybe the audience size was nearly 300,000 last year. But as I said, I'm just an ordinary old guy that's faced my fair share of challenges and have been very fortunate to utilize those challenges and to become the best version of myself, and now be able to share those challenges with others to hopefully inspire them to become the best versions of themselves.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people have seen your story on YouTube, or maybe read your book, or even seen you speak. But can we just briefly start, what happened when you were born?
I went to the doctors because my sister had an ear infection, and 5.5 years later, I was finally allowed to go home. My mum was taking care of my sister, and as we were leaving the doctor's room, I'm much more of a hugger, don't really do the handshake thing. So to shake your hand this morning was quite uncomfortable. But after we have this discussion today, I promise you we'll be hugging.
Yeah.
So I give the doctor a big hug, and his knee brushes my stomach, and he thinks that that doesn't feel right. So I am taken up to Coffs Harbour Hospital, which is our local hospital. That night I was airlifted to Sydney Hospital, which is about 7 hours south of where we live. And the following morning I was diagnosed with an incurable cancer of the central nervous system called neuroblastoma stage 4. The doctor said there is no chance of survival, to take your boy home and allow him to live the next few months with his family, because there's nothing that we can do. But like everybody listening to this podcast and everybody on the planet, we all have choices. And the choices that we make each and every day can help reshape, remold, and redefine our future. And my mum asked one question, and that was, I don't want to know what the chances are of my son dying, is I want to know what the chances are of my son surviving. The doctor told my mum that I had a 96% death rate to go home. to not put her boy through that sort of pain. But like everybody, we can look at the glass or the cup of tea that we're drinking being half empty or half full. And I'm just so blessed every day that my mum chose to look at my life not being 96% empty, but she chose to look at my life being 4% full. And then the fight started. On my first birthday, I had my first round of chemotherapy. Back in those days, we didn't have the medication to prevent us from vomiting. So as soon as I was injected with chemo, I would constantly vomit for hours and hours until my throat would be so badly burnt that I wouldn't be able to drink or eat. And the only way that they would keep us hydrated would be through IV injections. My chemotherapy cycle back in those days was 9 days on and 3 days off. And I was on that same cycle for nearly 3 years until one day the doctor came in and said to my mum, "Kerry, we're sorry, the treatment's no longer doing the job. The tumour has built up a resistance. It has taken over half of your son's body. It's pushing up into his heart and crushing his aorta. So we need to go into surgery. And would you like to carry your son into surgery? Because this might be the last time you get to hold him alive."
Your mom must be so strong.
Yeah, she is. She has certainly instilled so much courage and strength and optimism and resilience into my life. And she just wanted her little boy to be okay, and she never ever quit on me. And I went into surgery, and 6 hours later I came out and the doctor said that they didn't get it all and that there was nothing that they could do. So my dad and my three older sisters, they were flown from Coffs Harbour down to Sydney, and they came into my room to say goodbye to their son and their brother. I can only imagine how tough that would have been for my family. But the next day there was an American doctor who was fortunately enough at the same hospital where I was. And he spoke to my mum about a test drug that they were going to trial. The test drug was called DTIC. The drug had never been used on humans before, only on animals. They had no idea what the side effects would be. And they said to my mum, does she want me to trial this drug? And we truly believe that hope is one of the most powerful words in the English dictionary. If you can instill hope into somebody's life, you can instill courage, determination. It's amazing what you can achieve. And so we decided to sign a waiver to trial this test drug. And within 24 hours, all 25 of us that were on this test drug were transferred from the oncology ward to the burns unit. The after effects were so bad that we were completely covered from head to toe in blisters. What they would do is they would wrap us up in bandages and they would lie us in baths full of ice, trying to prevent our brains from frying. Sadly, within 1 month, 20 out of the 25 kids had passed away from that drug. The second month, my heart and lungs were extremely burnt and severely damaged. My liver and my kidneys were no longer working properly. But unfortunately, within 90 days of that drug, 24 out of the 25 kids had died. So I went from being in a big room with 24 other families to being in a big room all by myself. And that's why I say, when you touched on mum before, I say I'm one of the luckiest people on the face of the earth, and it's not because I'm still alive. It's because I wasn't my mum. You know, my mum had it tough. All I had to do is lie in bed and feel the pain. But my mum, she had to make a choice every day to inject a drug into her son that has killed every single person that ever taken it.
Wow. I want to meet your mom. Wow. Incredible.
Mm.
And what happened after this?
She said to me that I need to have a dream. Because without a dream, you don't have a goal. Without a goal, you don't have a purpose. And I said, yeah, I have a dream. She said, what's that? I said, when I grow up, I want to be normal like everybody else. That was my big dream. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to make friends. I just wanted to enjoy the simple things that people took for granted every single day. But my mum said, that dream's not big enough because you need to stretch yourself. And if you don't stretch yourself, you're never going to grow. And if you don't grow, you're never going to truly live. So I'm going to come back tomorrow and you're going to tell me what your dream is. So the next day she said to me, what's your dream? And I said, I have a dream now Not only do I want to be normal like everybody else, but one day I want to play baseball in America. And people laughed at my dreams and people said, why? Why did you want to become a baseballer in America when baseball's not that big in Australia? And what hospital I was at, the cleaners, they would mop the floor at 4 a.m. I have no idea why they have to mop the floor at 4 a.m., but they do, and they'd bash your bed. And I'd wake up, and at 4 a.m. I had nothing to do, so I'd turn the TV on. And the only channel we had back in those days was ABC, and at ABC at 4 a.m., we would get replays of Major League Baseball in America. So that's where this big dream of mine began, of wanting to play baseball in America. And when I was having all my injections, a lot of my veins would hide because of the pain and the burns. So what they would do is they would make me cry, and I know this sounds terrible, but they would make me cry just long enough for the veins to pop out in my head, and they'd pop the needle in my head to continue the treatment. But what was so great about that is that now, after 3 or 4 years of having these needles in my hands, I no longer had needles in my hands, so I had two hands. And my mum bought me a Velcro glove and a Velcro ball, and she would sit at the end of the bed and she'd lob the ball to me, and I'd catch it and I'd throw it back until eventually she was outside the room throwing the balls past the doctors and the nurses, and I'd be trying to catch the ball, throwing it back. And that was just those little baby steps that I needed to strive to achieve my dreams.
Is dreaming important?
Absolutely. I think without a dream, as I said earlier, without a dream, you don't really have a purpose. And I think to have something that's going to stretch you and give you the opportunity to fight and not prove other people wrong, but more importantly, to prove yourself right is incredible. I know when I was finally allowed to go home, the doctor said to my mum, "Your son will never go to school. He will never play sport. He'll be a housebound baby. And if he reaches his teenage years, it'll be a miracle." And my mum come through the curtains, and I made out I didn't hear what the doctor said. And I said, "Hey, Mum, what did the doctor say?" And she said, "Oh, the doctors told me that everything was going to be okay." She believed in me. How could I quit on myself, and how could I quit on my dreams and my goals and my visions when my mum would never, ever give up on me?
What do you want to say to people that might feel that they are afraid of dreaming? Something is holding them back.
I think the fear of failure is something that a lot of people worry about, they're scared of, and they don't want to stretch themselves. But I think that everyone listening has a story. Everyone has pain, everyone has suffering, and everybody has a challenge in their life. But I've begun to realize throughout my life that it is not the adversity in your life that defines you, it's how you deal with your adversity that allows you to live a remarkable life. If you want to lead a mundane, ordinary life, then I guarantee you, you will. Because that's all you ever reach for. But if you want to shoot for the moon, if you miss, you're still going to end up in the stars. So you're still going to achieve some remarkable things. And I promise you, the sacrifice, the pain and the suffering that it takes to get you to the point of where you get a chance to achieve your dreams far outweighs the pain and the suffering that it took you to get there.
It's incredible to sit here and talk with you, because having this strength after all you've been through, it's truly like, I feel sometimes when I'm complaining about things, why do I complain? But it feels like as human beings, sometimes we can choose how we think of things, right? Either we can complain or we can see an opportunity. And what happened after this? When did you start playing baseball? And I know you had a heart attack very early on at 12. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wanted to lead a normal life, and my mum gave me the opportunity to do that. So when I finally got out of hospital, the doctor told me I wasn't allowed to go to school, and my mum let me go to school. And I imagined how school was going to be. I had this vision of being the class clown. I was going to be the teacher's pet. I was going to get great grades. All the girls were going to love me at school. It was going to be amazing, my time at school. But when I got there, I realized that I was very different. I had bandages on my arms. I had no hair. I had no eyelashes. I had no eyebrows. I had scabby skin. I say to people that my time at school was harder than my time in hospital, because there wasn't one day in hospital that I got picked on. There probably wasn't one day at school where I didn't get picked on. Cancer Boy, Burnsy, Odds to Fire, Baldy, you know, sitting inside at recess and lunchtime on a nebulizer trying to give my lungs the strength needed to simply walk down to the bus stop of an afternoon to go home, watching the kids have a good time outside, leading a normal life, you know. But I think that there are two types of people in the world. There are those that use their pain, adversity, and suffering as the justification behind why they fail in life. And there are those that use the same pain and adversity and sometimes greater suffering as the motivation to succeed. I realize that no one in your life is ever going to tell you what you can do. They're only going to ever tell you what you can't do. And it's your choice whether you choose to listen. So when I had my heart attack at the age of 12, after finally starting to play the game that I loved, the doctor said to my mum, "Your son, he's never going to be able to play sport again. His heart's too badly damaged." And my mum come through the curtains, and once again I said to her, "What did the doctor say?" And she said to me, "Oh, the doctor told me that everything was going to be okay." She believed in me, she never quit on me, and she realized that if I had the mindset of normality, if I had the mindset that I could achieve anything in my life, then I would. And 3 years after being told I would never be able to play sport again, I was lucky enough to make the under 16 Australian Expos baseball team, and I got a chance to fly to America and live my dreams of playing baseball over here, watching our flag get raised, listening to our national anthem. I got a chance to do something that people told me all my life I'd never be able to do. And I played over here when I was 15, 16, 17. When I was 17, I was down in Texas and a scout came up to me and he said, "Mike, you're definitely not the biggest, clearly, and nor are you the strongest, but the passion you bring to this team is something that we want to reach in and grab." So fortunately enough, at the age of 17, I signed a scholarship to live in America and play baseball. It was just the most amazing experience of my life.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing this. Let's talk a little bit about goals and dreams. So do you have a bucket list, and what's still on it?
It's funny, a lot of people have always asked me, what's on your list? What do you want to achieve? Why do you want to achieve it? Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? With my health, I've never looked too far forward. You know, one of the greatest sayings that I live my life by is that your head needs to be where your body's at. Too often in life, we are so fearful of what might be tomorrow. We're so regretful of what could have been yesterday. We forget to focus on what is right now. I'm not a massive bucket list guy. I'm not a massive goals guy. I'm a guy that says, let's live really present right now. Let's not focus too far forward. Let's not look too far back. Let's be really present. Google says that we look at our phones more than 600 times a day, which means that we are no longer present 600 times a day throughout your day. How often do we see people in cars, on trains, on planes, in restaurants, on their phones? You go back 20 years ago and people would actually have a conversation. You know, it's amazing now we have a choice of a morning. You know, I used to have a choice of a morning to roll over and give my wife a hug and a kiss and or get up out of bed and go do something. That was the choice that I had. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'd roll over and give her a hug. The other one time, I'd maybe get out and go for a run or do something because, I'm not a runner. But now we have a choice. We have 3 choices. The first choice is to roll over and kiss your partner. The second choice is to get out of bed. Or the third choice is to grab your mobile phone. And I guarantee you that 95% of the people listening to this podcast would identify that they are that person. They roll over and check their phones. There are some times that I roll over and check my phone at 5 o'clock in the morning. I check my emails at 5 o'clock in the morning. I am not that important that somebody is waiting somewhere in this world for me to respond to an email at 5 a.m. of the morning. But we think we are. So we are no longer present in the world that we live in. So I understand that it's important to have goals and dreams because, yes, absolutely, I do have some. But it's truly about being present every day and being the best version of ourselves every day so that we can achieve that. I think also we look so far on how far we still have to go, we forget to look back and reflect on how far that we've come. I think it's really important that we have those little milestones, those little pats on the back, for us to realize that we are actually achieving some great things. I remember hearing a great talk from a corporal in the army, and he said the first thing we do of a morning is we make our bed. The reason why we make our bed is so that we can say we've achieved something, we've accomplished something. We can leave our home knowing that we've done something good this morning. And they're the little ticks, the little wins along the way. You know, I want to be in a position where I can take my son to school every day. I want to be in a position where I can go and watch him play soccer, play catch, when he gets his first award. So I'm working strategically to ensure that financially I'm in a position in 4 years' time to do whatever I can do to be with my son as often as he needs me. I don't want to be a guy that has to work 9 to 5. I don't want to be a guy that's on the road all the time. You know, I love the story, and it might get me a little bit, but you know, the things that we can't get back are like the moments that we've missed and the time after it's gone and the words after they're said. And there's a great story about a man who works from his home office, and his son comes in. His son's like 6 years old, and he says, "Hey, Daddy, is there any chance that we could play catch?" And Daddy says, "Sorry, son, I'm busy." And the next day, the little boy comes in, knocks on Daddy's door, says, "Hey, Daddy." Daddy says, "Yes, son." He goes, "Any chance we could play catch?" Daddy says, "Sorry, son, I'm busy." Third day in a row, little boy knocks on Daddy's door. Daddy says, "Son, I told you yesterday and I told you the day before, I'm too busy, I can't play catch." The little boy says, "Daddy, I wasn't going to ask you to play catch." He says, "Oh, what were you going to ask me?" He says, "Oh, I was going to ask you how much money you earn in 1 hour." And Daddy says, "Son, that's a very rude question, but I earn $100 an hour. And the reason why I earn $100 an hour is so I can put a roof over your head and food into your tummy. So get out of my office, I got work to do." So that little boy leaves the office. He doesn't come back for a week, a month. 2 months goes by before that little boy knocks on Daddy's door. He knocks on Daddy's door, he says, "Hey, Daddy." Daddy says, "Yes, son." He said, "Over the last 8 weeks, I've been mowing lawns, I've been pruning trees, I've been picking up dog poo, I've done every single chore that my mum has asked of me, and I've been able to raise $25. Daddy, I was wondering if I could give you this $25, and could I please just have 15 minutes of your time? And could we please go and play catch?" You know, I think in my life, I would do anything. I would give away every bit of success that I've had, every bit of possessions that I own, to have a healthy little boy knock on my door and say, "Hey, Daddy, can we go and play catch?" You know, when we begin to prioritize what's important, we begin to truly understand what life's all about. I don't want to be the dad that says, "Son, I'm too busy." So my goals and dreams is to make sure that I can be in a position healthy enough in 4 years' time, when my son is big enough to play catch and go to school and do things that normal, healthy little kids get to do. I want to be there holding his hand. I want to be there driving him to practice. I want to be there to be the best dad that I could possibly be. There's a goal for you.
Yeah, no, being present is got me thinking. We forget that a lot of times, being present. But do you have any tools for being present?
Reflection. Of a nighttime, I like to sit down and think to myself, what did I do today? What did I achieve today? And it's not about financial accomplishments. It's not about customer growth. It's not about profit margins. It's about what did I do today to ensure that I was a great version of myself. And also another thing that, you know, I think would be really powerful for the people listening is, so often in life we write down a to-do list, right? Every day we write things down that we need to do. It's all about accomplishment. It's about ticking a box. It's making sure that we've done things. What I've been working on with a lot of CEOs around America and more so back home in Australia is a to-stop list. I write a list every day or once a week or once a fortnight on things that I'm going to stop doing, which allows me to become more present. The most recent thing that I've put on my list is that I must stop on social media, emails, and external communication from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's it. If my phone rings, I'll answer it, unless I'm having dinner with my family. But I will not send an email. I will not look on Facebook. I will not do anything on Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. because that enables me to be present with my family. So the more of these things that we can stop doing as opposed to these things that we can do gives us an opportunity to be present. And it's a 21-day habit. Once we do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit and it switches on. So now I feel like I've accomplished things when I turn my phone off at 6 p.m. So I'm actually reducing the amount of hours that I'm exposed to social media and interacting with the world so I can be present with my family. So I think that's that might be just the first little key, a first little trigger to shift your mindset to be really, truly present.
And also I think we need to remember that we're not going to miss anything. We're actually going to gain something. So I think that's the hardest part, because we always think, if I don't look at my phone, I'm going to miss something. No, you're going to gain something. You're going to gain the here, you're going to gain the now. I know you have to go, Michael. So I have one last question for you that I ask all my guests. And that is something that I want to share to the listeners. If they can do one thing right now after listening to this to get a little bit closer to their dream or their goals, what would be that one thing that they can do right now?
One thing that you can do right now, whether it gets you closer to your dreams or not, it's going to make you feel better. And if you feel better about yourself, that will give you the motivation, the determination to strive harder to achieve your dreams. One thing that I like people to do is something so simple, and that's to make a difference in somebody else's life. And it's a very, very easy thing. All I want you to do is text somebody, because you all love your phones, right? I want you to text somebody, unless you're listening to this in a car, then pull over and do it. I want you to text somebody and just let them know how much you mean to them. That's it. I want you to text somebody and say, hey, I just want to let you know I really care about you. I love you. Thank you for being a great friend. I guarantee you I know what they'll write back. They'll write back two words with a question mark. What's wrong? They will think you have lost your job or you are dying because you have just told them how much they mean to you. The reason why is because we only share with people what they mean to us when it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late before you decide to change. Don't wait until it's too late before you decide to tell somebody that you love them. I love the analogy, we wait until we're diagnosed with lung cancer before we stop smoking. We wait until we're diagnosed with diabetes before we change our diet. We wait until we lose someone that we love before we tell them that we love them. Don't wait until it's too late. Make a difference every day and do something that your future self will be proud of.
Thank you so much, Michael Crossland. We have laughed, we have cried, we have shared this moment together on a Thursday, not a Friday, but it's Friday in Australia. So funny, we made it happen. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for doing this and coming here. And I also want to thank the people that are listening to this podcast. Don't just listen to this, because we want you to be active in your own life. Do something with your life that is meaningful. Be more present. Live a better life, because we only have one and tomorrow is not promised. Thank you to Panos.com for sponsoring us. We're grateful for that. If you like this podcast, subscribe, share it, and help us grow, because this is a community. We can't do it ourselves, but we can do it together. Thank you guys, and talk soon. Bye-bye.